super excited that you're here. And we're live on Facebook, by the way, as always. So you need to be listening and watching, of course, the podcast. And you can find it on my Facebook page, which is Sarah Fraser. Boom, just hit the entertainment pages and it's right there. Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Sarah Fraser. We're getting right into it because everybody was watching the very boring Stormy Daniels interview last night on 60 Minutes. Did you guys all hate it? Because everybody on my social media basically said, terrible, nobody liked it. So I watched it, and apparently I was the only one that was completely, like, obsessed and, like, sucked in. And I thought she was great. I thought she was totally truthful. You can leave a comment right now because I'm just hopping on my Facebook page. Did you agree? I thought she was great. My only concern was her boobs were, like, almost popping out the entire thing. And isn't that terrible? I feel like I'm a woman, and I shouldn't be obsessed with her cans. I shouldn't even be calling them cans. Like, what am I, a 12-year-old boy? But I was so obsessed with her boobs, I couldn't stop. That one button was absolutely, like, being punished. It was just crazy. I thought it was great. I actually thought she had amazing sexual chemistry with, what's the guy that was the host? Anderson Cooper. I thought those two, yeah, could really, they like seemed like they could be a couple. I know who dates guys, but I don't know. I thought it was great. I had a throw up moment when she talked about President Trump taking down his pants and then in his tighty whitey spanking him with his own magazine. Absolutely gross. I can't even imagine him comparing Stormy to his daughter Ivanka. It was like, ugh. How is that even like your dad? But we've been having an ongoing discussion here at the Hey Fresh podcast, and basically everybody feels like it wasn't that shocking. And isn't that what we expect from President Trump? I mean, the guy did own like the Miss USA pageant. And if you heard one interview that he did on Howard Stern back in the day, all he did was like just rank women and talk about like having sex with porn stars. I know Melania was pregnant, but I don't know. I guess I thought it was really interesting. I thought she was super credible. I think that the NDA is, they're going to win, she and her attorney. Her powerhouse attorney seemed like he had everything going on and totally like in control. Here, I want to play this one part for you from the interview where she essentially is talking about her safety and her personal safety of her daughter.
Walked up on me and said to me, leave Trump alone, forget the story. And then he leaned around and looked at my daughter and said, a beautiful little girl, it'd be a shame if something happened to her mom. And then he was gone.
Oh, you took it as a direct threat?
Absolutely. I was rattled. I remember going into the workout class and my hands were shaking so much I was afraid I was going to drop her.
First of all, I thought she did a great job. AJ, you watched it. AJ is the producer, by the way, here on the Hey Fresh podcast. What did you think? Were you totally into it?
I was totally into it, but after reading so many reviews, I like tried to jump on the bandwagon and say, you're right, it wasn't as entertaining as it should have been, but I was dying back here listening to you talk about her button because I was staring at that too. I was dying.
She's the biggest boobs I've ever seen. Like they were totally distracting on the entire interview.
They're massive.
But aside from that, I was like, show me the text messages. I want to see what he texted you. They really only had sex once. Then she showed up to the Beverly Hills Hotel and he like is notorious for that too, for promising people that he was going to get them spots on Apprentice. Never did.
Classic letdown. Yeah, I was... I totally didn't know they only had sex one time. I thought it was an ongoing whole relationship, affair that they had. I thought there was going to be a little bit more juice, but I still enjoyed it.
Everybody kind of felt like it was a letdown. Anyway, so if you watched, you can leave a comment right now on my Facebook page. Let me know. Was it just like underwhelming? Do you think the hype was actually worth it or did you like it? I mean, and I found her to be really credible. I was like, damn, I think she really like knows all about him. And the whole Shark Week thing, like he was just obsessed with watching sharks.
Made her watch Shark Week and a whole episode of Shark Week. It's like, sheesh, that's Donald Trump's way of swooning ladies. Here, sit down and watch Shark Week with me.
All
Shark Week. But I did hear that it was the highest ratings since the Obama and Michelle, when they got elected, that was like the highest rating since 2008.
Really?
This interview. So it still brought the ratings up. Good job for CNN.
Interesting. Well, over the weekend, of course, I was down at the March for Our Lives. AJ was in New York. Leslie, who is our videographer, and she does all of our video work. She was at Demi Lovato, and we also celebrated her birthday on Friday, which was really fun and amazing. So the March for Our Lives was just unbelievable, and we have some pictures of that. I was down there taking pictures of all the signs, which were incredibly moving. This one, by the way, just like blew my mind. So this was a little kid. He looks like he's about 9 years old. He was standing up on this giant like plant pot, and he was holding this sign that says, please choose me, not guns. And he just like has his hands up in the air like, it was just unbelievable. So that was one of the most moving ones. I also did see one that said Free Melania, which after the 60 Minutes interview, I can completely understand that one. So the march was totally touching. But of course, being down there, it was so packed. I didn't get close to see like any of the speeches or any of the celebrities. But Leslie, on the other hand, she went to see Demi Lovato on Saturday night. And Demi Lovato was one of the speakers at the March for Our Lives. So Leslie, how was Demi Lovato like in person as a performer?
Oh my God, Demi Lovato is amazing. I love her, and she's great. I mean, her voice is a little different. She speaks like a little girl in person.
I'm ready.
So, oh my God.
Did she say much about, did she mention March of Our Lives? Did she say anything about
that? Yeah, since the beginning, DJ Khaled, Kehlani, and they were saying that they were, you know, there basically all day.
All down there in a apartment. Mm-hmm. So did you hear by any chance, did Demi Lovato do a meet and greet at all?
Yeah, she did. She did a meet and greet.
But wait, did you get to go to that?
No money for that.
Yeah, it's like $500 for meet and greets, right?
Isn't only that? Only for the meet and greet is $500, and then you have to pay for the concert additionally.
The meet and greet is $500?
Basically.
Really?
Yeah, it's Demi Lovato. Hello?
No, A-list. I would not. There's no way I would pay that. Absolutely.
Sarah, people pay like $1,000 to meet you, right?
Of course.
No. More like a few chicken wings. Like, here you go. Hey, Sarah, can we bribe you with some food and wine? Absolutely. Here, you want a photo? No problem. Well, anyway, we also get to celebrate your birthday. It is Leslie's birthday today, and we got to go out to Rosa Mexicana, her birthday, on Friday night. We had so much fun. You looked gorgeous. You looked absolutely stunning. And everybody in your family was just so sweet. We had a great time.
Yeah, they're all sweet.
They were. And you were vlogging. When are we going to get to see your birthday vlog?
Today is going to go out today in YouTube at 6 p.m., so wait for it. It's going to have basically everything I did in the wedding, including Demi Lovato's concert.
Oh, excellent. Mm-hmm. I love it, love it, love it. And by the way, we have to say hi to everyone online. Gary Lewis Jr. says hello. Cristo, Glenda Romero, and Travis A. Turner all joined. You guys, thank you so much for joining. Sophia Omar Carter. God, I hope I said that right. Maybe it is Sophia. I never know. You gotta spell it out phonetically, like put it out on the Facebook. We have so much to get to on the show today. We have the most insane listener email that is not safe for work. This is basically a woman who is talking about pleasuring herself while listening to this podcast in front of her cat. Like, I know that's like super disturbing to think about all at once, but this email, well, she legit needs your advice. Also, on my Instagram yesterday, I posed the question, why did you not pay on a date? This show is all about entertaining you, making you laugh, and then hopefully giving you some inspiration and some things that make us all feel and think differently. So I wanted to put this out on my Instagram, which is @HeyFrage, and ask anyone, men or women, why did you not offer to pay on a first date? We're going to read them for people so they, I feel like, honestly, get a better idea of what the dating circuit is like. In the meantime, we have to thank our sponsor for the show today, which is Waxing the City Alexandria. They are unbelievable and so pain-free. And I was getting tweets and Instagram messages and tags over the weekend that an entire family of all the women went in and they got a wax because I had basically said how pain-free it is, which it totally is. Your first waxing treatment at Waxing the City is 50% off. It's the best bikini wax I've ever had in my life. They have this secret recipe, and it's like nice and warm. They put on some like lidocaine spray. They do a little baby powder, and then rip, rip. It's so easy. All of your bikini line hair and more comes off. You'll love it. And if you haven't seen me get waxed live, you can watch. It's totally, I don't even move, right, AJ?
Not a flinch.
As Paul likes to tell me, he doesn't believe that I have any feeling down there. He like always is like, I don't think you have any feeling going on down there because you don't even move. And I'm like, that's because it's so pain-free. You can also visit their Instagram, which is Waxing the City Alexandria. You can make an appointment there or waxingthecityalexandria.com. All right, so let's get into some of the hot topics and some of the big things that were trending over the weekend, which I wanted to ask you, Leslie, about Demi Lovato, because you saw the story, right, of the fan that has essentially come out who said that they had anxiety issues and an eating disorder, and Demi Lovato, like, completely ignored them at the meet and greet.
What? No
what?
Way.
You didn't see
really?
That? Yes.
No.
Demi Lovato ignored a fan who tried to talk to her about their mental health issues. This is according to Life and Style. A 21-year-old guy, Mike Peretz, paid $500, like you said, to go to the meet and greet for Sorry Not Sorry singer at her Chicago concert on March 9th, and was sadly disappointed with the experience, he told Life and Style, after she took her picture with him. And then he was like, hey, I'm also bipolar and I've had anorexia in the past and I've struggled with a lot of these things. You've been a big part of helping me and an inspiration getting me to a good place. I just want to say thank you. But Demi wasn't feeling it, according to Mike. He said when she finally looked away from the camera in front of them, she said, okay, and totally dismissed him. Mike admitted that he was not only underwhelmed with the meet and greet, but later realized, holy, or how shitty she actually is in person.
No, to be honest, she's bipolar. She said it. She's spoken about that. So, I mean, that was one of her moments. She's bipolar. I don't believe, you know.
How does being bipolar have anything to do with the fact that she's basically dismissive of people that pay $500 to see her?
I don't know. I mean, to be honest, I'm sorry, but what were you looking for? Like a therapy with Demi Lovato? She's not a therapist. I mean, she's bipolar. So, I mean, if you don't like her response, then...
Yeah, but if I'm paying $500, I want a hug. I want you to look me in the eye. You better autograph whatever shit that I've brought in, like some old t-shirt or nasty like socks that she wore or whatever. I mean, what other things? Oh, her perfume that she hawks, that like awful toxic crap. Like, you better sign all that shit for $500?
I mean, to be honest, I met her with $12 and I said, hi, I love you. And she was very nice. She was pleasant. And I mean, I don't understand then. I mean, if you try to go to Demi Lovato and to seek therapy from Demi, then you're wrong. I'm sorry. I'm a diehard fan from her, so.
This fan was not happy about it. Beyonce was in Target. Does anybody really think that Beyonce is shopping at Target? Because I'm going to say that I don't believe this for one second. And I think that, in fact, Beyonce, it's probably part of like an upcoming ad or some sort of campaign that she's doing. Because I don't believe for a second that Beyonce shops at Target. But over the weekend, the singer, who's valued to be worth at $500 million, had Blue Ivy there as well as security. Her cart was loaded at a Target in Los Angeles.
This is an ad. This is an advertisement.
I think so, too. I don't think she really shops for herself, and I don't think for one second she's actually choosing to shop at Target.
I think Target is going down. That's why this is an ad.
Why?
I'm just kidding. I love Target.
I love Target. You go in there, and you think you're going to spend one thing, and then you end up with a Frappuccino.
But do you really... you end up with a Frappuccino. But do you really think that Target is going downhill?
No, I don't think so. But, it's just, you know, fishy that she's there.
Well, I don't know. I do think it is suspect because I'm like, there's no way that she's really shopping there. She was attempting to keep a low profile, according to sources. The star partly concealed her face beneath a pair of oversized shades, though it seemed that her sunglasses weren't really fooling anyone. And people are saying that it's a little suspect that she was overly obvious that Beyonce was there. I agree. How would you guys feel about this? Neither one of you have stepfathers. You guys both parents are still married to your, I guess...
Right.
Yeah, neither one are divorced, right?
No.
But I found this story to be interesting with Elon Musk. Elon Musk's father had a baby with his stepdaughter. Did either one of you guys read this story?
I read it, and it's sketch AF.
Why is it sketchy? Because they never lived together.
So they never lived together, but I still am thinking anytime there's like some type of incest, I don't care if it's stepdaughter, it's not really related, it's not his blood, but I'm still thinking this is weird. So he got remarried. So now he has a stepdaughter, but the stepdaughter never lived with him and his wife.
72-year-old Errol Musk is the dad of course, billionaire Elon Musk, says that it was, quote, God's plan for him to father the child that he had with his stepdaughter. The child, Elliot, is just 10 months old. And via Page Six, they claim that he did not think of Elliot's mom, Jana, as his stepdaughter since she was raised away from the family. Errol, who lives in South Africa, married Jana's mother, Heidi, when the girl was only 4. Years later, after they split, so he splits from her, one thing led to another. You can call it God's plan, he says. And when she told him that she was pregnant, Errol assumed her ex was the father and insisted on a DNA test. It proved that Errol was the dad.
Woof.
I mean, isn't that like amazing?
And they all go by E's. There's Errol, Elon, and the son's name is Elliot.
Elliot. All E's.
I read the article. At the end, Elon says his dad is a horrible person. So apparently they're not even close.
Yeah, they're not close at all. And the stepdaughter, by the way, is 30 years old and he is 72 years old.
Can we just talk about that age difference? Saggy balls.
Yes, very saggy balls. You know exactly how I feel about that. No, I have the 10-5 rule. Ugh. Also, some other news stories to get to. Stranger Things. You guys are all fans of Stranger Things.
Love Stranger Things.
Yes. So, go 11.
You do. You watch.
Yes.
Leslie needs to be on like a sex operator line.
Yeah, right now because of my voice. I was in Demi Lovato's concert, so please forgive me.
You do have a very sexy, sultry voice.
What do you want today?
This one took me a while to get into, Stranger Things did. At first I was not a fan, but now...
Yeah, I used to fall asleep during the first season.
Yes.
And then I realized it was actually interesting.
What?
No. Yeah, I don't know why.
I've been always awake with that series.
Now I love the kids. Well, they just announced that it will be back in April of 2019. They also talked about some of the themes that are going to be happening with Eleven and with some of the other... characters in that. So Eleven and Mike and Lucas and Max, respectively, would all be couples at the beginning of the season. None of the cast had gotten the script yet, according to Millie Bobby Brown in real life, who plays Eleven. So she says she's also learning about it just through the media. And Mike and Eleven are going strong. So that's a relationship that continues.
I'm obsessed with them. Who's your favorite character?
Who is my... Who's the kid that's... who's the one that's dating Eleven?
Mike.
Yes. I like him a lot too.
But I like the one that's next to Mike.
The lisp kid?
Yeah, the one that doesn't have two teeth.
Oh, she's crazy.
And
I'm always in shock that that guy is like 15 or 16 in real life.
Oh my God.
Hey, do you guys, I hear my headphones. Do you guys hear something, an extra something playing? I just want to make sure you guys are hearing it.
I hear that too. I think we're picking up. Life.
Sadness. Okay, I turned it off.
Okay, good. What was it?
It was the Facebook live stream.
Oh, okay, great. No, yeah, as much as I would love to hear myself back, I don't really want to. Also, I want to know how you guys feel about this. Leslie is single. Leslie, are you on Tinder?
No, I'm not. I was on Tinder a long time ago, but I'm not on Tinder anymore.
Why did you get off Tinder?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't like it. I don't like to meet people that way.
When you were on Tinder, did you ever notice that there were a fair amount of guys, especially white men, that were posing with random children?
This was a long time ago.
Several years ago. So you don't even recall who like the profiles were on Tinder?
I mean, this was when Tinder was starting. So I don't really, it could have changed since I had it.
Well, of course, you know, there's been a lot of, you know, do's and don'ts of what you should do when you have a Tinder profile. And everybody like shames the person who is on Tinder posing with a tiger. Like, we all know you're not supposed to do that. Mm-hmm. And then there's the bathroom selfie. Like, I have no idea why you're putting that shit up. Like, you can't find another place in your house to take a picture. You have no other friends to take one. But they're saying that the worst photo that people are putting up, that men are putting up, is with random children, which I have to say is really unusual. And they're saying that maybe these guys have been traveling internationally. Maybe they've been doing humanitarian work. Maybe he's in a relationship where like these kids are like his stepkids or something like that. Or maybe he just used them as a photo op. But did the children in the photo know that they were part of these guys' random pictures? And more of these are showing up. Now there's even a Humanitarians of Tinder account calling these people out in different cities. Do you guys think that's strange, by the way, if you saw a guy just pose? Like, most of the time their arms are crossed and then there's like some random kids in the background.
Oh, I thought they were holding the kids.
No, they're posing like with the kids like a tiger. Like, the kids are just in the background doing things. And then these people are abroad, like taking pictures with them.
So they're trying to act like they're sensitive and they have kids in their lives.
Well, it looks like it looks really weird. Like, they're exploiting the children. Honestly, like this, I have to say, like, I didn't notice this, but now that I'm seeing these pictures, it's so disturbing.
I think that's clickbait. That's for like, oh, he's so cute. Look, he has all these keys around him. Okay, swipe right.
But do you think it's because that people are putting these pictures up because they want to look more humanitarian?
Yeah.
Because for the most part, it looks like they're in another country, right? And they're posing with these kids. Which is highly disturbing because who knows what the economic and social background of these children are. So you think that they're just doing it for empathy? Like, oh, hey, I look more sensitive?
100%. Yeah. But I'm swiping left.
I would hope. Leah says that it's absolutely super creepy. Charlie also joined. Oh, Charlie. Charlie never even finished the second season, by the way, of Stranger Things.
Oh, boy, you.
So.
Okay, the second season ending is like the most important part. It's the best part.
It's cleafhanger. Yeah.
It's a cleafhanger.
I'm so weirded out by these.
You do you, boo.
Yeah, you do you, boo. Exactly. Oh, God, I'm still weirded out by these Tinder profiles. Before we get on, we have a really special guest today that I'm very excited about because I'm all about helping you guys learn about your brand, growing your brand and presence on social media. And Elise Crawford Gallagher is here. She's the CEO of Ringlet Studio. So we're going to bring her in 1 second. But I did want to get to some of your answers. And AJ, you have them. I posed the question on my Instagram last night and I said, why did you not pay for a date? And I thought the answers were really good. And I also want to give you, Elite Daily did a story on this, and they also did kind of an anonymous survey asking mostly men why they didn't offer to pay on a date. The number one thing was, well, in no particular order, they're on a budget. You guys believe that? Do you think you should be going out on a date, period, if you don't really have the money to even offer to pay?
I think if a guy asks you, you're supposed to say yes. Like, who is it?
Let me sip my Moscato. Let me just sit. You shouldn't be going out on a date. If you don't have the fucking money to pay
the guy
for my date, yes.
Right.
Or the woman. What woman is going out? I actually have a girlfriend who for like years was making no money. She used social media to go out and get free dinners. I'm like, bitch, you shouldn't be going out. That's not the good reason. If you're going out on a date, both parties should be able to pay if the other person leaves. That's
100%.
Crazy.
Or they're just doing the Dutch... Preston, ditch and dine.
Yeah, he says, if it's the first date, I'll always pay. Maybe even the second. But after that, I'm not offering right away because she should recognize that we're in similar situations and that money is finite. All right, I agree with that. One or two, and then the woman or the other person that you're taking out should offer to pay at some point. You treated them poorly. Guys, have either one of you ever been on a date where you were just like treated so badly? You were like, look, I'll pay you to leave.
Never. That's ever happened.
No.
I felt that way. They felt disrespected. Another guy, Axel22, says that he felt clearly disrespected by the woman. She showed up almost 40 minutes late, ordered several items on the menu, then never even finished them. So he didn't offer to pay. They're all about equality. You think lots of times men don't offer to pay because they're like, oh, hey, it's equal, like half and half.
Right. They think it's all about women's rights now. So it's like, yeah, why not? I'll give you a chance to pay.
And they don't intend to see you again. I would say that's the biggest sign.
Travesty. Like, yeah.
For me, like, if he's not offering to pay, it's probably a clear sign he doesn't really want to see you.
He's not about it.
Don't you think? Bye, Felicia.
Yes. Bye, Felicia is absolutely right.
This is my favorite one.
Okay, what were some of the answers from my Instagram?
There's only been once that I wasn't real keen on paying half the bill. It was a first date. The guy spoke about his annulment in detail and mentioned how we ought to order tiramisu for dessert and how tiramisu tastes like ass. I let him pay 100% and I still can't eat damn tiramisu.
That was one.
My son had a first date recently. The young woman licked her fingers after she ate. When she was gnawing away on one of her fingers, he said to himself, split the bill and then I'm over and out.
Really?
Oh,
so
I love that
licking
one.
The fingers was it. And that got him to split the bill.
That was his pet peeve, right?
I can understand that. That's like pretty terrible etiquette. All right. What do you have one more?
When we're men, we're going to pay for the date regardless. But the least women can do is pull out their wallet when the bill comes and offer to pay half instead of pulling out the old, excuse me, I need to use the bathroom move. Yeah, at least make the effort. Pull your wallet out. Say,
yeah,
hey.
At least like, give it some go there, for God's sakes. All right, I want to bring on our guest today. I'm very excited about Elise. Elise is here, as I mentioned. She's the founder and CEO of Ringlet Studio, and they are the only DC-based digital marketing agency focused on women business owners. And Ringlet is the only digital marketing agency in DC that works solely with female entrepreneurs, right?
Yes.
Elise, you're here.
Sarah, I am so excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
Oh my God. Now, okay, I don't like know you that well yet, but are you single, married, dating?
I just got married in August.
You did? Oh my
yeah,
God, you're so lucky.
Hence the two last names.
Oh, that's right.
Now I am the obnoxious woman with two last names.
Did you ever go out on a date with anyone before you met your partner now that refused to, or like didn't even offer to pay on a date?
You know what? I was thinking about that. No, but I had a good friend who just went on a date. And the guy he just like stared at her as the bill came out and they just had like a staring contest.
Like, he
and
didn't
the
offer,
bill just
like neither one of them
nope,
offered. They
nope.
just stared
and,
at the bill.
And eventually she was just like, okay, well, I guess I'm just gonna get my credit card out and pay here. And he was like, okay, cool.
And he
like,
just he completely just made, let her pay.
Yeah, he let her pay. And she was like, we're done now.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Wow.
I hear all of the crazy dating
you do?
Stories from my friends.
From all
I
your
get to just like be entertained by their.
Oh my God. Oh, I hear you. So look, I'm so fascinated by everything that you're doing. Obviously,
thank
I'm
you.
A female entrepreneur. So many women that listen to this show have started their own businesses, want to start their own businesses. And you're only digital agent. I was saying this, only digital advertising agency. So you don't even mess with newspaper.
No. We don't.
Or magazines.
No, we
You're
don't.
Like, print is dead.
Print is dead. We do solely digital. And we've started to dabble in event marketing as well and kind of tying together digital and live events as well, which has been really fun.
So why did you get away from, and does that include television too? Like, you don't do any TV, you don't do any, you're all like advertising
we're all
through.
Digital marketing and advertising, yep.
Why? Why did you feel so strongly that was the way to go?
Yeah, well, I worked in PR before and worked a little bit in traditional communications. And I just saw that people were flailing and didn't really know what the next move was in media and how to move forward. And I just saw that digital was the way to go. And it's a new frontier. It's really exciting. It's a new landscape to be working in. And I wanted to be on top of that. You know, I wanted to be ahead of the game.
So what kind of female entrepreneurs do you work with? What kind of businesses and industries are they in?
Our clients are varied. We have health coaches, and then we work with venues. We work with chefs. We work with, like everyone under the sun. We've worked with bakers, but they're all women, which is great.
And why is it important to you? I mean, I think that is a bold choice. Like, you don't even have any male clients at all, right?
No, we don't.
Why not? Why did you decide? I mean, that's like scary.
You know what? It's so funny. It seems like a natural fit for me. Like
that. Really?
Yeah. And everyone says that, like, oh, it seems really scary. And isn't that like, you know, putting yourself on the chopping block by niching down. Whatever the word is.
Right.
Niching
sounds good to me.
I hear a lot from my clients. When we went on your website and we went to Ringlet's Instagram, it immediately resonated with me. And that's what I want people to say. I want, when they look at Ringlet's brand, for them to say, this is the brand for me. This is absolutely the agency that's going to get me. They understand where I am and they're going to get me to where I want to be. And if we were really broad, included men.
Sorry, fellas.
I don't think our brand would resonate with as many people. So as we niche down, I tell people this in marketing, the more niche your audience is, the more you're going to have success.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. I really strongly believe that.
You do?
Yeah.
Okay. So tell me this, like, we're all in this era of branding, right? What's your brand? Branding yourself. And, you know, I hear it from a lot of women, especially that want to be in media or they want to start their own business. Like, do you still feel like branding yourself is super important?
Oh, it's so important.
Okay, why?
Like, it really, really annoys me.
Really?
When people come to me and they're like, oh, I'm going to start a business, but I don't want to invest in a logo. I don't want to invest in social media. I don't want to invest in a website. And your branding is putting your face forward. So whenever you have amazing branding here, Sarah. I love it.
The lips. Oh, how am I doing?
The colors. Okay. It's amazing. Okay. I love it. People instantly know what they can expect from you. They know you can you have a lot of energy, you have a lot
crazy.
Of color. It's awesome. So branding is super, super important because it's the first thing people are going to see when they Google you, because it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Or when they look you up on social media. So it's your first impression, and it's really important.
So here's my thing over the years, you know, that I've struggled with is, you know, definitely most of my listeners are female.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're millennial women. But you know, it's hard in a business because I think there's so many things now. You get very distracted. Like, you're like, oh, maybe I should start including men. Maybe I should add more content for guys. Like, how do you advise clients to, like, stay the course? Or are you guys always, like, testing different things?
You got to keep testing. I mean, like, I knew that I wanted to work with women because men get enough shit. I wanted something, a space for women, especially in the DC area, where they felt like they could get the resources they needed to start their businesses, that they could network and they could find a home. You know, it's so scary when starting a business. You know, there is so much risk.
Very, very risky, very expensive, especially if you live in a city like D.C., right?
Absolutely. There's a lot of competition.
Yes, the competition. And your cost to do things like have a podcast studio, put money behind it, you know, all that stuff. And you know, same thing if you're a baker, or you're starting a jewelry line or whatever.
Absolutely. So I knew I wanted Ringlet to be the place for women to go and turn to where they know that they could find that support when starting their business. So anyway, to go back to your question, you know, I think starting any business is like we were saying, risk. It's throwing spaghetti at the wall and seeing what sticks.
Okay.
And that's really important to do that in the very beginning. The first 2 years of Ringlet, we were just seeing what worked. But you always want, like I was talking about, niching down. Like, it's so, so important to have that image and stick to it.
Love it.
And make sure that you're staying consistent in that image. Even if behind the scenes, maybe you're testing things out, make sure that you're staying consistent on social media and in all your branding.
So you're on social media. Tell me, what are some of the big mistakes that female entrepreneurs make on social media? And then I want to talk, I want, like, your best pieces of advice, like, because I'm all about giving people, like, beyond the surface. Like good tips that they can walk away with. But what do you see are some of the mistakes that women are making?
Yeah, the main mistakes I see women making in social media specifically is that they don't plan out their content. They just kind of post in the moment, which is great. And I think Instagram stories or Facebook Live is that place to be super vulnerable and kind of more in the moment and posting those videos or photos. But you want your video, your feed to be super consistent, super branded. So we always use the app Planoly.
Okay.
So we help our clients plan out all the content. We create content for them. A lot of people don't think about that, like investing in content when they first start a business. Like, you got to have a photo shoot.
Yes.
Get
that's
glammed
a great
up
tip.
And have a photo shoot. It doesn't have to be like day long. It could just be an hour. There are amazing photographers in the city for you to work with. But create that content that you know represents your brand and then plan it out in advance so that you're not sitting there on a Thursday morning thinking like, oh gosh, what do I post?
And I would imagine too, it's the inconsistency. Like that's the biggest thing I see with people is like they post like one picture on Instagram and then you don't see anything from them till 4 or 5 days later.
Right.
And you're like, ugh, you know, you're missing opportunity. You've got to be there all the time.
You've got to put yourself out there. It's slightly obnoxious. I understand. Like women come to me and they're like, I just don't have time. And I'm like, well, that's why Ringlet's here. We're going to help you do that. But at the same time, you got to put your face out there. You got to, you know, have a personality. Put yourself out there. You got to be vulnerable. People long gone are the days where you could just post once or twice a week and it could be great, you know, and you get engagement. Like there's so many people on social media now. You've got to stand out. You've got to put your personality and yourself out there.
Okay. So for women that let's say they already have their business and they're getting started or they're just creating their brand, what are two pieces of advice that you would give to women when it comes to digital marketing in that sphere where that's really your expertise?
Yeah. Choose two platforms that you want to focus on and do it really, really well.
Oh my God, I freaking love this. Like, which one should they be? Well, first Instagram, of course.
Yes.
And then I'm so torn between Facebook or YouTube because
well,
now I'm
like
obsessed
Facebook
with you.
Well, you're doing Facebook so well. You're doing it so well. I love it.
But then I'm like, are old people on there or do you think it's young people?
No, I think it's young people too. I just had this conversation with two other marketing experts this past weekend and they're saying Facebook is not dead.
Really?
It's not dead. I promise.
Facebook isn't dead.
It's not. They are coming out. I mean, Facebook, I think eventually will rule the world. Amazon and Facebook, I like somehow, you know, in 20 years.
So are you over Snap? Do you guys?
I don't use Snapchat.
Okay,
at all.
So pick two platforms.
Yeah,
that's
pick
fabulous
two
advice.
Either if that's blogging, email marketing, Facebook, Instagram.
Wow.
Pick two of those and do them really, really well, and be very consistent on them.
Okay.
And then two, take risks. You know, don't like
really
we're saying, like don't be afraid to take
I'm in
risks.
Love with you. I'm hiring you because
I've been in love with you for a while, Sarah. So
I want to just get naked all the time on my Instagram. I'm like,
yes.
I have positive body
do
image.
It.
Like,
do it.
Do you think so?
Yes.
Here, I want you to know if you think this is marketing death or brilliant. But I really
I think it's brilliant.
The girls want I want to do a I'm sure have you heard about this radical free bleeding where you don't wear
yes,
a tampon
I
or pad?
I have heard of it. Yes.
Then my next period, I want them to document me free bleeding. Bleeding. Do you think that's like too much and gross?
I don't think so. People, here's the thing. People are very
love you.
Nosy. They just like, they want to be up in your face.
Or other places.
Or other places. So take risks and just put yourself out there. Be consistent as possible. Pick two platforms. Do it really well. Those are my top tips.
Okay, I am obsessed with you. But one more follow-up question before we tell people where they can find you, get in touch with you. When it comes to risk, though, we're in a funny town. Like, D.C. is I heard somebody describe it as Tale of Two Cities. And, you know, you've got this kind of, like, so political and uptight and very conservative. And then you've got this whole, like, undercurrent
creative
of just,
community.
Like, creative community and the cannabis world, all these other things that are happening. So, I mean, does risk apply to any client? If I'm a woman, a female entrepreneur who's a therapist, or I'm starting my bakery, or so, but
you've got to think outside the box. No, I mean, there are so many bits. Sarah, there are 850 women-owned businesses starting around the U.S. every single day.
Oh, God.
Can you believe that? Like, almost 1,000 businesses starting each day.
That's amazing.
So it's like, you got to stand out some way. You know, you can't just sit back and think that your clients are going to come to you.
Wow. Okay. Where can people, you are terrific.
Thanks, Sarah.
Super terrific. I love what you're doing. I love
Thank
that
you.
It's digital only. I'm also where I feel like that is where it's at.
It is.
Part of the reason I talk about all the time, you know, I think radio is going through this transitional world, and I loved starting in radio. And I think at some point, you know, there might be some crossover for me again, but it's also at this funny place where, like, people aren't really, advertising isn't working anymore on radio platforms.
It's all this movement towards native advertising and marketing.
Native advertising.
So trying to, basically, they're trying to blend advertising with natural, like, content creation. So, like, you do this when you say, like, oh, I'm wearing J. Crew. You can go to J. Crew and get 15% off by using this code, you know? And,
yes.
like, it's just trying, the marketing and advertising is just moving much more towards, like, an integration with
everything
content.
You do, everything, all your content.
Everything is advertising now.
Oh, my God. We're in love with you, Elise. You're fabulous.
Thanks, Sarah.
Where can people get in touch with Ringlet? Are you taking on new clients?
We are. We're almost booked through June right now. So we are. Yeah, we're busy, but yeah, always looking for clients, always. You can find us at Ringlet DC or ringletstudio.com, and you can find me at Elise Crawford.
Oh my God, Elise, you're fabulous. Thank you so much, Sarah. You guys,
this is so much fun.
I hope you had unbelievable, you know, I hope you enjoyed, Elise. If you want to leave a question, I'll follow up with you on Facebook. Right now we're Facebook Live, so you can just leave a comment or a question that you have for Elise regarding your branding or your business. I will be in touch. You're amazing.
Thanks so much, Sarah.
Free
this
bleeding,
is great.
Here I come.
Woo! Love it.
Thank you.
Thanks, Sarah.
All right, you guys, as we close out the show, we always, on Mondays, we do some interesting listener email. And you want to talk about risk? We've got it. It's our little pineapple mail box. And in it today, get ready. If you're at work, this is clearly not safe. But I'm obsessed with this woman as well. Lisa writes, she says, hey, Sarah, I have a story to tell you. I think that you'd really enjoy this. Have you ever had one of those days? You know, those days. My anxiety was through the roof. I was shaking and on the brink of a panic attack. You want to know a quick, healthy cure for it? Grab your vibrators, ladies. I went to town on that bad boy. Being single and too lazy to find a man to calm my nerves, my vibrator is my new Xanax. All right, I understand that. Yeah, and I know yoga or meditating may be healthier, but who's judging anyway? I had your podcast on in the background for noise. I wasn't masturbating to you, just with you. And I was watching porn on my laptop. Oh, my God, Lisa, this is amazing. My roommate was home, and my little vibrating Xanax can be loud, so I put a pillow on top of my lady parts to help the noise. I hear some ruckus under my bed, and then I hear, brrr, it's my cat. I usually kick her out in the middle of my alone time, mostly because I find it weird. She likes to stare at me and wants me to pet her, and I always tell her, Mommy is petting her own kitty right now. My cat doesn't give a shit. With my raging anxiety and being about 5 seconds away from a climax, my primal instincts took force and I just had to keep going. Anyway, I feel like you and I are friends. Lisa, we are. And now, since I've masturbated with your podcast on in the background, have you ever masturbated in front of an animal? Is it weird to you, or should you kick them out? Signed, Lisa. Well, I have to say, I grew up with pets that were outside, so it would be very odd, although I guess you could be outside masturbating, but I have not ever masturbated in front of an animal. Although I do think it's weird, because for some reason, I think your animal does know when you're doing selfie time, and I think that it's a good idea to kick them out. But AJ has masturbated in front of her dog, so she's got some thoughts. AJ? with Oscar. And I looked to like Oscar Santana, who runs Podcast Village, is here. He's like the only guy in this all-female show. And he's like turning red and he's shaking his head. Oscar, you've never masturbated in front of your puppy before? Come on. Get in here. AJ?
Santa, yeah, you just threw me right under the bus there.
Have you masturbated in front of Santos yet or what?
I think it's different for guys because you literally need like space. You know?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. I totally understand.
I'm
going to
walk out on that note.
That was it. Okay. Do you think it's weird? Just give me a thought. You think it's weird to masturbate in front of your pet?
Yes.
You do.
Especially if you have square footage.
Especially if you have square footage.
And all I'll say is you just can't have eye contact with them.
It is weird, right? When you if you had eye contact with your pet?
Right. So my bed is right next to my couch, or like you can see my couch from there. So I just kind of wait for my dog to put its head down and then...
Guys, it's clearly weird. Your pets know when you're masturbating.
They totally do.
Sure, 100%. They don't know a lot and they lick their own buttholes, but they definitely know when you're like touching yourself and it's really creepy. You got to kick the pets out. You can't have the pets in the room going to town. But Lisa, we love you anyway. I mean, you're just like caught in the moment. And thank you for masturbating with our show on. I love that right now you are probably getting off while listening to this. Anybody who's masturbating after they listen to our show, send me a quick email or hit me up on Instagram and just let me know. Know, like, you know, what is it about this show that helps you climax?
We need a shirt that says, I'm not masturbating to you, just with you.
That is the best line. I'm not masturbating to you, I'm with you. People are dying, by the way, on the Facebook Live, Charlie. Yow. It's weird, but things happen. Gary Lewis Jr. says, oh my God, I'm dying at Oscar. Travis Turner says, oh my God, asterisk. Baha, thank God I've got headphones on in my workplace. Oh my gosh, it's the truth. We like to end the podcast on Mondays, too, with a segment called Memes Be Like What. We're obsessed with memes. I'm obsessed with memes. We're going to start with this one, which I pulled from Chris Brown's official Instagram. I know everybody hates Chris Brown. You guys are probably going to crap on me for using this. But I thought this one was really good. And it's from this guy named John Dillinger, who goes, at the real. Bitch, how am I going to act my age when I've never been this age before? And I thought that was so great because people always are like, why don't you act your age? I don't know what it's like to be 29. It's the first time I've fucking been 29. How am I supposed to know how to act? Love that one. All right, what's next? I want next up for our memes. We love these memes. Lots of times you can find them, too, on my Hey Frage page. This one's hysterical. It's a real-life actual mannequin. Finally, a mannequin that represents real people in society. And it's a man with a dad bod who's got a beer gut in, like, some sort of sporting goods store. And he's wearing a jersey that is sort of maroon and yellow, and I love it. And he's got these man boobs that are sagging down. No, that's accurate. Why aren't there more dad bod mannequins? That one's really good. Okay, last one on our list for our meme segment.
You want the grandma?
Yes. Oh, my God. You guys told me about this woman, too. I didn't even know who she was.
She's a character. She might, what do we think? 75, maybe?
But she comes off of, who is the, who's the person's Instagram, by the way? He's a guy named, goes by Smooth? Smooth Smith, I believe.
Smooth Smith. Yeah, he's this young kid that just like exploits his grandma.
Yeah, here he is. And this one is so good. I put this one on my Instagram at Hey Frage, and it's me at 80 years old, and it's this 80-year-old woman.
How do I get a booty like that?
How do I get a booty like that?
She gave it to me. I'm in a booty shaking contest.
Booty shaking contest.
Hey,
this is squishy.
Yeah, I thought that.
She's like pinching this guy's muscles, who's got like really tight, huge muscles.
Where could I get some juice?
She wants some juice.
No idea. I don't work here.
Oh my God, this is my future.
Hi, how much could you bench?
He wants to know how much this guy can bench press. He's like super muscly.
I don't know, probably like 405. Five, what's up?
You're weak,
she says. You're weak. Darkness, my old friend. Oh my God, I think these are great. Anyway, there are memes. You can always submit those too while you're masturbating to us to sarah@heyfrage.com. You guys absolutely love you. Thank you. Please tell someone who has never heard about the Hey Frage podcast all about it. We do new episodes on Monday and Wednesday. It's all about pop culture, funny, crazy stories of the week, and of course, our personal lives and you guys, whatever's going on in your life. And nothing is too extreme. You can tell and share anything with us, and we're always live too. Facebook, Periscope, we're sort of playing around with that. Anyway, love you guys. Bye, everybody. Sarah. I'm going to go masturbate to myself.
Hey, Frage.
Bye, everybody. It's a podcast.
ass, not a cast.
I'll just show you my crotch on the way out.
Every day she'll make you say, oh my god.
Oh my god.
She got the scoop. Pop culture news, so grab a drink. It ain't what you think. It's Sarah and the crew.